Hello, Internet, and welcome to All of My Issues. This is episode 2. In episode 2, we discuss Civil War versus Civil War 2. We also talk, you know, so be careful. There's going to be some spoilers involved. So if you haven't seen either Civil War, the movie Civil War, or read the comic book Civil War, you may want to possibly watch that movie first or read Civil War and possibly Civil War 2 before you listen to this podcast. Also, we discuss a little bit about the Columbus, Ohio Wizard World Con. We were at that Comic-Con. We want to discuss that a little bit, what we've seen at that show. And also, we talk a little bit more about the Suicide Squad and give some of our speculations as to what that movie might be like. And finally, we kind of wrap up with a discussion about which actors have portrayed the most superheroes or have been in the most superhero films, franchises, all that good stuff. So let's go ahead and get started. Enjoy! That's right. Woohoo!
Sam Stevens is with me as Frank Bonner.
That's right, buddy. And this is All of My Issues.
Alright, one of the issues that I want to talk about that I have the issue is Marvel's Civil War 2.
No, here we go. Dropping some spoilers, so yeah, it's
some spoilers.
Yeah, so if you don't want to, and that one of those people would be me, because I don't know exactly what's going on. I have some suspicions, and I've read some things online. I haven't had a chance to yet read the story, so I haven't exactly know what's going on with it either. So,
well, basically, the basic story of Civil War II, what happens is there are, as you know, more and more Inhumans that are being activated due to the mist that was
the Terrigen mist, right? That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
The Terrigen mist has been released onto the Earth, and it's going around the Earth, activating those who have the Inhuman gene in them, and so there happens to be a new Inhuman that can predict the future.
Ooh, okay. This I didn't know about. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? He's a whole new character. Someone that has just been introduced.
His name is Ulysses.
Ulysses. All right.
Yeah, and he has his power is to predict the future. And what had happened was he had this really like nightmare of Armageddon that is happening, I think had to do with Thanos. But well, first it had to do with an alien invasion. And so he went and told, you know, Medusa and the rest of the other Inhumans about this. And
so these are things that, like, hasn't even happened. Any of the alien invasion or any of the stuff has not occurred yet.
Has not even happened yet.
Gotcha.
Humans tell all the Avengers, and then when the aliens come, they fort it. They stop the invasion from happening before it can really happen.
Okay, alright.
And so, you know, Tony Stark is like, how did we know this? So everyone, like all the Avengers, the Mighty Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, all of them are trying to figure out, like, well, how did you guys know that this was going to happen? And so the Inhumans, you know, introduce the superheroes to the new Inhuman that can predict the future.
Okay, so that's kind of like when they introduce Ulysses then at that point. Then.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Ulysses is introduced and everything, and he's, you know, he's still trying to get used to his powers. He's not quite sure. He's not really a hero. He's just an average person that had this gift.
Gotcha.
And
Gotcha.
And so as there's other events that go on, and you know they're starting to come true, but Iron Man himself is kind of like on the fence, basically, about how does his powers work, because the whole someone predicting the future or the strong possibility of that future happening kind of worries Iron Man. I think that's kind of like ironic because Iron Man does, you know, consider himself the futurist.
Yeah, right? yeah. But then, like, this whole, like, being able to predict the future thing, that's almost more of, like, that's kind of almost out of the realm of science, so that's probably maybe one of the reasons why he might, I'm assuming why he feels uncomfortable
with that. A little uncomfortable, but, you know, he's kind of like, oh, okay, but it is until Captain Marvel's, that's Carol
Danvers, right?
Danvers group, yeah.
Yeah.
They take one of Ulysses. Visions, and it's a vision of Thanos like conquering the universe, and so they take her team of Avengers to go stop Thanos from getting some sort of artifact to start completing this conquest. And what ends up happening is War Machine is killed in the process.
Ooh.
So War Machine is killed by Thanos. She-Hulk is basically put in a coma by Thanos. They stop Thanos, and they stop him, but it comes at a heavy price.
Okay, man. So as far as War Machine getting offed or whatever, how is it like did he get evaporated? Is it possible that he's going to come back? I mean, what kind of?
He got Thanos punched a hole in his chest.
Oh, that's kind of that would probably kill you.
Yeah. And the crazy thing was, War Machine wasn't really part of that particular Avengers. He would just happen to be there, and they got the call, and so he's like, "I'll go with you guys."
Oh man. And, okay.
Yeah. So he wasn't technically supposed to be there.
Gotcha.
So he goes, and that's how he gets killed. They fight Thanos, and him and Thanos are going at it, and basically Thanos just punches a hole right through his chest, like shoots power out of his chest, and that's how he dies. And
wow.
That right there is where Iron Man has a problem, because that's his best friend that just died.
Exactly. So he kind of loses it at that point. So that's kind of... So they're kind of went
pre notion that, well, we gotta stop Thanos no matter what.
Okay, so they were kind of kind of encouraged to go do all that from Ulysses then, right?
Oh,
if
yeah,
I'm following the story correctly. So like, okay, I see where you're going. So like, they didn't even really know if Thanos was actually doing something that was going to be harmful. It was just kind of predicted by Ulysses that he was going to do something bad, and then this is what they would have to do to stop him from doing that.
Exactly.
That
exactly. They Ulysses had a vision that if Thanos gets this particular artifact, then he's going to cause destruction on the whole universe. And so the Avengers were trying to cut him off. And when they showed up, even Thanos was like, "What are you guys doing here?" It's like,
Huh.
And so, you know, it gets to the point where Iron Man's like, how does his powers work?
And yeah.
And Captain Marvel's not questioning. It's like, well, we don't quite know. And even the humans are like, well, we don't quite know. And they're like, and Iron Man's like, so you mean to tell me that you don't know how it works, but you're just going to go...
Go with it without even questioning it. Just kind of go follow his lead and act on it.
Yes.
Because maybe what he was predicting was like one possible scenario or something like that, and they don't know exactly what was going on.
And that's some of the things that Iron Man had brought up like,
gotcha, gotcha.
Like, is this how many percentages? Is this 100%? Is this 85%? And,
yeah.
You know, no one can know. Not even Ulysses. He's like, and you know, he's kind of just like stuck in the middle because he's like, I don't know how this is working or anything. And the more he has, the more visions he has. If people are around him, they all feel this vision also.
Oh, okay.
Down to some of the other issues. Basically, it's kind of like Iron Man right now is trying to focus on, you know, how these powers work. And he does a few things that basically almost starts the war between the Avengers and the Inhumans, because at one point he even kidnaps the kid to examine his powers, and, you know, are like, what are you doing? And this is about to declare war.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the starting point. But unlike the first Civil War, there is another shocking death. If you thought War Machine was a shocking death, there's another shocking death. And I think this basically pushes Iron Man and those that have questioned Captain Marvel's intentions on this issue to the brink, where Ulysses had another vision of the Hulk basically destroying everybody. Like, okay. Everybody was dying.
Oh, and okay.
The crazy thing is, like, everybody that around him felt it, and they're like, they saw the vision with him. And so, Captain Marvel and Iron Man go to where Bruce Banner is hiding out.
Okay.
And you know, Iron Man goes in without his suit, and Captain Marvel goes in, and, you know, they walk in, and they find Bruce Banner, and it's like out in the country.
Just kind of chilling, kind of away from everybody. So
kind of away from everybody, and it's when they're speaking, Bruce Banner has not had an incident of the Hulk come out in a year.
Okay.
So Bruce, he's been. But the thing they find out is that Bruce's been experimenting on himself again to try to get the Hulk.
Okay, gotcha.
And we all know what happens to people when they experiment on themselves without any supervision.
Yeah, a little Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde business.
With the Hulk, the Fly, countless
yeah, others. It never goes well. Never. Gotcha. All right. Because did they all had the vision then, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were all around when it happened. When it happened to Ulysses, so they all felt it. They felt like they were actually there. It was the closest thing to being actually there as possible. And so they were all like, "Yo, that was pretty real."
Yeah.
Going on, why are all you people here? Which, you know, if I was him, I'd be freaking out too, because
Yeah, yeah.
And so Bruce starts to freak out a little bit, and Iron Man's, you know, Tony's trying to calm him down, like, Bruce, just calm down, just relax. Like, what's going on? He's like, I haven't had an incident, and, you know, he's kind of getting a little, not too irate, but he's kind of upset.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And before anything can happen, you see an arrow shoot right into Bruce Banner's heart, and he falls dead to the ground.
Okay. So was it Hawkeye then that did that?
It ends up being Hawkeye.
Huh. See, that's my question, though, before... I mean, I guess maybe it depends on, you know, the experiments that Bruce did to himself or what have you. But you know, he's tried to kill himself before, but he's always come back as the Hulk. So it's like, it didn't, you know, it never worked. So I wonder, you know.
In issue number 4 of Civil War 2, it goes over. Well, actually, issue 3 is where they put Hawkeye on trial, and you know he's on trial, and Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil, is trying him and asking him questions like, why did he do this? And I've come to find out that Bruce Banner actually went to Hawkeye and gave him this experiment device that says, and Hawkeye's like, what is this? He's like, if I turn into a Hulk again, I need you to use this on me before I turn into the Hulk.
Okay.
And even Hawkeye was like, well, you know, the Hulk doesn't die. I mean, I've seen...
Oh, so they do something that kind of explains... Explains
exactly.
As to why that worked. Okay. Okay.
And so that's what Hawkeye... And you know, when Hawkeye shot the arrow and stuff, and they all like, who shot the arrow? Hawkeye was in a tree. And when they got to the tree, Hawkeye, you know, gave himself up. He's like, with tears in his eyes. And Hawkeye, even when he's explaining, when he's making his testimony to the courts, he's saying, Bruce talked to me and told me if I start to turn into the Hulk, then put me down. Like, I didn't want to put him down, and it goes into how Hawkeye and Bruce Banner had the conversation, because he's like, why me? Why did you pick me? And basically Bruce said, you are the only one who could eventually live with yourself if you had to do this.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Huh.
And so they had a trial, and basically... The courts find Hawkeye not guilty.
Huh. Okay.
And yeah. And,
well, that's, and, at this point, what's four, that? You know, okay, it's issue 4.
Again?
That's issue 4 that all that happens.
Yeah.
The trial and everything.
Trial. Yes. Issue 3 and issue 4 is when the trial happens.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So now what? And, they're on issue 5 now. Is that right?
Issue 5.
Okay, so like they're probably on different sides of,
exactly.
You know, gotcha. Okay,
and you know, Tony Stark's like, he was the founder of the Avengers. He was my friend, and he's dead now. And you guys are acting like this is no problem. He's like, he's dead. Like,
yeah.
And Hawkeye, you know, on the stand saying, yeah, I killed him. I did kill him. He's not trying to get out of it, like saying, oh. Set me free. Hawkeye's like, yo, I killed him. This is the reason why I killed him, and whatever punishment comes with it, it comes with it.
Yeah. So he's not even pleading innocent or anything. Hawkeye isn't, but you know, he's found not guilty,
yes,
due to the circumstances, and
right.
Gotcha,
and,
gotcha.
And so basically, and as this is going on, after they give the verdict and stuff, Iron Man gets the information. had kidnapped Ulysses and, you know, scanned his brain and stuff, he has how his brain works.
Okay.
And how his power works. So, Iron Man brings in basically all the heavy hitters. Captain Marvel, both Captain Americas, any big Avenger that you can think of to this meeting. And Iron Man explains to everyone, like, this is, you know, this is how his powers work, and this is not, these are all not definite futures. They are possible future. He's like, we just happened to get a few of them right, but as you can see, we got a few of them wrong. And he's like, how many percentage does it take for you to act on this guy's predictions? He's like, is it 20%? 80%, 90%.
Gotcha, and gotcha. So, okay, yeah.
And so he's having this conversation with everybody, and he's looking at, you know, Captain Marvel, and she is steadfast, and she's like, "We have stopped more things and prevented more things from happening, and that's what our job is as superheroes." And Iron Man's like, "No, we are supposed to protect. We're supposed to avenge. We're not supposed to try to." Stop the future from happening, I guess. His argument is, if it hasn't happened yet, then you can't punish someone for something that they haven't done yet, which is the same as Thanos and Bruce Banner. And in fact, before that even happened, Captain Marvel stopped some sort of what they thought was a Hydra secret agent, which was actually just a regular person. It got the vision wrong.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, alright.
So if you fast forward to the meeting with all the big hitters and stuff, and Iron Man pointed this out, and he even, you know, said, "Hey, I don't want to have another civil war, because you know how that ended, being, you know, Captain America standing right there."
Yeah.
So he's like, "I'm telling you, this is not good at all." And Captain Marvel doesn't want to hear it. She just storms out of the meeting room, flies out. So
that's kind of like the divide. That's where kind of a whole civil war really kind of starts, is from that moment. So that moment that occurs in issue 5 then is kind of like what really triggers the whole civil war between them.
At the end of issue 4 is where both sides are standing at the helicarrier about to go to blows.
Gotcha. And then as far as like the teams, I guess, in this civil war is that so you got Captain Marvel's team and then you got Iron Man's team. So who's on whose team for this one? All right. Okay.
You have Doctor Strange. You have the new Avengers, which is the team of Iron Man, Sam Wilson, Captain America, the female Thor, Morales,
yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Plus, you got Luke Cage, and I think that's about it on that side.
Gotcha. And then the Steve Rogers Captain America also?
Captain America also is on Iron Man's side.
Okay, gotcha. Didn't something happen to him at one point where he had aged? Or has that been resolved, I take it?
Captain America is using his original, the
Okay. Okay, not so much the disc shape, but more of the actual shield kind of shape.
That is correct.
Gotcha. And then I guess maybe to rewind a little bit too, like with Bruce Banner and the Hulk, at one point he was like kind of the intelligent Hulk, where he kind of merged the personalities together. What actually occurred? What happened to kind of bring it back to like I guess the Rage Hulk, if you will? What caused that to happen?
To be honest, I do not know. I didn't get a chance to really follow that. I have to do a little more research on.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because even like a lot of the current cartoons and stuff that they have on TV and stuff like that, they kind of have that more intelligent Hulk. There's no like Bruce Banner to Hulk transformation really going on like on an episode by episode basis. He's the Hulk.
So yeah, basically, I guess the Hulk and Bruce Banner's persona had made a deal. It's like, hey, I won't cause too much destruction, but if I stay the Hulk all the time, and so Bruce agreed. So that's what I'm taking out of it.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because I was reading the Hulk up at the time when he kind of merged personalities and became like the intelligent Hulk, because it was like with Doc Samson and stuff like that. They kind of, you know, he kind of worked with the different multiple, you know, it was more of like a multiple personality disorder than anything else. And then he kind of just helped him merge those personalities together. And then he became, you know, the intelligent Hulk, if you will.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. Overall, what do you think of the quality of the story? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's on par with the first Civil War, or do you think it's a little bit weaker? Do you think, you know?
With this one, when I compared the two, like the first Civil War, you could easily pick either side.
Yeah.
I felt that Iron Man and Captain America both had valid points.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think the thing I liked about the first Civil War is it was you know, you could see how it was really kind of the different principles that each character stood for. How it's kind of more of an ideological problem than anything else. You know, Captain America was more about the freedom. You know, we got to keep these, you know, secret identities secret to those who want to keep their identity secret. And Iron Man more about like the strict regulation and the registration of all the superheroes to try to prevent more damage from happening.
Yeah, more accountability.
Yeah. So in that regard, I think I kind of like at least the foundation of that story better, just because it's a little more political in nature. Wasn't like one superpowered person kind of set all these things in motion. This almost even, you know, I don't want to, you know, me having not read the story, but just from what you're telling to me, the conflict between Captain Marvel and Iron Man seems a little weak, maybe. You like that? You like they can't sort that out, you know. Okay.
So he's looking at it more as a military. If we can prevent lives from being lost, then why don't we do it? There should be no question. The fact of the matter that this saves more lives and more superheroes can come home and instead of running into danger all the time. That's a win-win.
Yeah, except in the case of the Hulk. Or War Machine, really? I mean, come on, you know.
Exactly, and to her, it's like, well, there's a few eggs that needs to be broke to break in order to make an omelet, and you know, I think that's where the military side of her comes out, because that she's just wrong. We're like, we have to stop. We have to be that voice to stop terrorism, to stop any threat, no matter what. And, you know, Iron Man's like, but you're going by sheer blind faith. It's like,
yeah. There's no evidence that, like,
yeah,
in
no
a way
evidence.
that kind of, you know.
It's kind of like it's like the Minority Report, that book and everything. It's like you see the vision. Well, it's going to happen, and I don't think Captain Marvel factored in the fact of the power of choice.
Yeah. Or even you know, being able to take action before these things escalate to that point. I mean, I can see them investigating them and maybe looking into these problems more. And to me, it just seems like, it's almost like they're jumping to conclusions, almost like what happened in Batman versus Superman, the movie, where it's like, you know, Batman's quick to, like, want to fight Superman and put an end to him, and it's just like, the argument just doesn't seem to... it doesn't seem to measure up to where they're at, like where the actions that they're taking. Like, I could see them having a discussion, having an argument, but for it to escalate to that level seems kind of like, you're really kind of making a jump here. I don't know. I mean, they're and you know, you've read it, so there might be like a whole lot of stuff, a little more subtle nuances to the story that I'm just completely missing, but I think
you got a pretty good handle on it, because it's like her just jumping into a swimming pool just head first, and she didn't check whether or not there's water in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Look before you leap. There you go.
So now you're going to have a big, huge battle in issue 5, and that's, I think that comes out, in a few weeks, and we'll see what happens.
There you go.
I'm rooting for Iron Man's side, but I'm still hurt from the first Civil War because I was a Cap guy.
No, I know, man. Well, just even all the stuff, like kind of like, you know, Iron Man getting Spider-Man to reveal his identity and all that kind of, yeah, it was just the whole thing, you know. And I'm like, I was a Cap guy too. I was like, you know, I'm like, oh, but. But to this, it's almost like I can't, like with that first Civil War, yeah, it was more like, oh, I'm a little bit torn as who do I want to root for a little bit more. I mean, I was still Cap for sure, but I was still a little bit more torn because I could see both perspectives. Yeah, right? I mean, that's what it seems like to me. Like, you're really, you know, really jumping the gun on this one, if you will. And I don't know. I guess here's another thing to bring up. Look, the deaths, if you will, like War Machine and the Hulk. How long do you think those are actually going to last in the comic book continuity? Does it feel like it's something that's going to be in place for a while? Oh, I did read something about that, like a female Iron Man, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that looks kind of interesting.
So I think that's going to kind of take Tony Stark kind of away from like the spotlight. So if that's taken away from the spotlight, then there's pretty much no point of bringing up War Machine as Mr. Rhodes, Lieutenant Rhodes.
Oh man!
Right. Now the Hulk, that's up in the air because you know we got the Thor movie that's coming out. And you know, also you're gonna have the two Infinity Wars by my two favorite directors, the Russo brothers.
Yeah, buddy. So far, those two guys, they can't do any wrong. So far, I don't. Maybe I shouldn't say that because I might jinx it. But I mean, those guys, They've nailed it both times so far, continuously. So it's I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the next Avengers movies. That'll be good. And I did read something where they're talking about originally when they were talking about it was going to be Avengers Infinity War parts 1 and 2.
Correct.
But now I guess the part 2 of Infinity War, it sounds like it's going to be dropped, so it's going to be called something else, I guess. So it is definitely going to be Avengers Infinity War, but I guess I read something where they were saying that so far that second part of that storyline is, as of right now, untitled. And
is it going to be the Secret Wars?
Well, I don't know. Well, the one rumor that I was reading, because they're kind of going through the end of this Phase 3 with these characters, and they're introducing all these new ones like Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther, that that next part of that Avengers movie might be like kind of like the changing of the guard, if you will, where okay, this is the new Avengers. So maybe then it's going to have Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Black Panther. I don't know. We'll see. That would be kind of cool, actually crossing the boundaries between Netflix TV and then the movies.
That does follow the comics because he was a new Avenger.
That is true. I kind of see them probably not doing it this time because they do see, even though they're like a connected universes, they're connected together, they do still seem to be pretty separate, at least those two universes. It's almost, I think the regular like ABC television series, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably a little bit more closely knit to the cinematic universe than what the Netflix stuff has been. I mean, they mentioned events in the Netflix series, and in fact some of the events that have taken place have kind of set things in motion on those series, but it's not the other way around though. They don't really, at least they haven't referenced anything from those shows yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. So I guess there's a lot of rumors about what's going to happen. So it'll be cool to see what happens.
Interesting.
Yes. So any other updates on the Civil War stuff? How many issues is that going to be? Oh, 8. So it's more than halfway done then.
Yeah, I mean they're at issue 5 is next, so this is the big war. So I'm assuming that after the big fight, they're gonna have maybe two more issues that try to wrap it up. So about 7 or 8, I'm thinking. I could be wrong.
Gotcha. Okay. Huh. Gotcha. Okay. Well, maybe at this point we'll segue to what I did this past weekend with my son. We went to the Wizard World in Columbus, the Wizard World Comic-Con in Columbus, and we went there and spent more money than I probably anticipated on spending. So my son's probably going to have to get scholarships instead of, there's no college fund here. So there was a lot of money spent.
What's some of the things that you spent it on?
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to meet some celebs. We got some, my son he's a little bit obsessed with Five Nights at Freddy's. And so we got some Five Nights at Freddy's plushes that he wanted to get, some Mario stuff. One of the big reasons, one of the main reasons that we wanted to go to this one is that the guy that actually does the voice for Mario in the Mario video games was actually there at the Comic-Con. His name's Charles Martinet, and
I tell you what, the guy's he's a solid guy. The guy's awesome. The guy's a really cool guy. Spent a lot of time talking to me and my my 7-year-old son, who's obsessed with Mario also. And you know, we got him, you know, autographs from him. We even got voicemail messages from him. So now my voicemail message, if you call me and I don't answer, it is Mario. It's Mario responding to the phone call, saying, you know, basically that Rick can't come to the phone right now, and, you know, leave a message, and it's all Mario, you know.
I'm trying to remember when did Mario, like, the only time I know Mario from talking is like, hello, it's me, Mario!
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, you know, he does those little things, but the guy does the voice for pretty much all the Mario characters, so it's not just Mario, so he's like, hey, Mario, hey, woo-wee. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Luigi, he does Luigi's voice. He does Waluigi and Wario's voice. So he was just rambling them all off while we were there. And I'm like, man, that's pretty cool, you know. So I had my son doesn't have a cell phone yet, but he recorded a voicemail message for my son as well. So at the point when he does get old enough to get a cell phone, he will have a Mario voicemail message on his cell phone as well. So that was pretty cool. And walking away from that, my son just kind of stops, looks over at me, and was like, well, that's pretty much the best moment of my life. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, it makes me feel kind of good that I was able to do that for my son. I mean, he's 7, so I mean, I'm hoping there's going to be better moments than that. But at this point in time, yeah, okay. You know, set the bar a little bit lower, maybe, and, you know, he had a good time, so. So, yeah, and then we met one of the actors, too, that I was kind of excited that he was going to be there was Sam Jones from Flash, from the original Flash movie in the, I think it was in the early 80s, maybe late 70s. I think the early 80s, I think, is when it came out exactly. I think it's like 1981, 82, something like that. It's when it came out, and he plays the lead character, Flash, you know, in the movie, the title character. And the guy was really cool. The guy was awesome, super personable. My son and I got our pictures with him. He was, I know for sure he was in Ted. I can't remember if he was in Ted 2 or not. And I was actually thinking about that before we got on here, and I couldn't remember.
So. I think he was at the beginning. He was at the beginning of because I think he married. No, they went to his house for something. And yeah, I think he was.
You know, I think you're right. I think you are right. Now that does totally sound familiar. That totally sounds familiar. But yeah, I thought that was. You know, the Ted and Ted 2 movies, they're okay. Them having him in the movies, like, immediately, okay, that's one extra star for me. Because just even making that reference, because, you know, as me as a kid growing up, I guess I, you know, because the movie's a little campy, a little bit cheesy, really. And I think it was meant that way. You know, at the time when I watched it, my 9-year-old self, or however old I was when I watched it, I guess I didn't realize the campiness or the intentional campiness of the movie. I was more just like, this is awesome, this is the best ever, you know, with every one of us, you know, a rock and Queen soundtrack throughout the whole film. Come on, you can't go wrong with this.
So
yeah. Oh, yeah. That dude is one of my favorites too. That die. that's the best. It is. Oh my God. Yeah. So like, if I could go back in time and tell my 9-year-old self, hey, you're gonna meet Flash, you're gonna get your picture taken with him. Not only that, but you're gonna get your picture taken with him with your son. I would probably kind of like just crap myself probably. But yeah, no, that was really cool. Really cool moment too. And then we met some of the other characters too. One of the other guys we met was James Marsters from Buffy Angel fame, Spike.
Yes.
So that was pretty cool. And that guy, he's really a pretty cool guy too. Gave us like little stories about the, you know, we got an autograph from him and super personable. Told us the story about the autograph, or not the autograph, but the story about the photo that he autographed. And then, you know, we got a little picture from him as well, a little selfie.
Did he apologize for Dragon Ball Evolution?
He did not. He did not. I felt best not to bring it up.
I'm just saying.
I know. Hey, you know, an actor's got to take roles, right?
I understand.
Pay the bills. That Buffy Angel money probably only goes so far.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think
he could have
passed on that one.
Yeah, he probably could have. He's got to get some residuals from that stuff, I would think. He's got to be living pretty okay, I'm thinking. I don't know. But no, he was cool, and it was cool to see him. And Nicholas Brendan was there, too. Xander. I just met him in passing a couple of times. I meant to go get an autograph from him, but unfortunately didn't get the opportunity to go back to his table to see him there. So I guess I'll just have to hit him up at one of the other shows or something like that. But yeah, he was there, so it was cool to see him too. He looked okay. He looked good.
He's been in the news lately.
He has, and I have to say this. I don't think any events occurred at the Columbus. So, yeah, so that's
good.
Big plus there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want Xander Harris to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on. He's one of my favorite characters from Buffy. I mean, Xander, he's like the likable, everybody kind of guy that, you know, he's relatable. He doesn't have superpowers, but he's, you know, and he loves comic books, a little nerdy, all that kind
of
stuff. I mean,
come on.
Yeah, exactly. And who hasn't? I mean, at one point or another, right? Am I right or am I right?
You are right.
Either metaphorically or, you know. But so that was cool. They the Columbus con was good. The Wizard World, it was definitely a good time. And definitely looking forward to the next one. And the next one, I believe, is coming up in, next one at least close to us, is going to be in Pittsburgh in November.
It is.
In fact, I think they basically took the position of the old Pittsburgh Comic Con. So
okay.
I think Wizard World may have kind of purchased it, if you will. I don't know if they have a complete lineup yet scheduled for that show yet, but yeah, I'll definitely be looking for that too, and probably try to attend that as well. So,
and for those of you guys who've never been to the Pittsburgh Comic Con, it's usually in Monroeville, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, which happens to be the same city that they shot Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, the original Dawn of the Dead. The Monroeville Mall was where that was filmed at. So, thank you, George Romero.
There you go.
In fact, one of the things that you used to incorporate with the whole Comic-Con that they would have there was a zombie walk or a zombie tour of the mall where they filmed stuff at. So, yeah. Unfortunately, we never participated in that. At least I never did. At least not.
We didn't participate. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that goes on. Lots of stuff goes on at Comic-Con. But,
what happens at Comic-Con stays at Comic-Con.
That's right, that's right. but no, I think now, I think the new one, I don't think they have at the, anywhere near the Monroeville Mall. At least I don't think so. I think they've changed location for quite some time now. I think they haven't been by there. Which is too bad, because it was kind of a nice location, a nice locale where it was, you know, close to the Monroeville Mall.
Right.
You know, you could see.
There's enough room.
Yeah, there's enough room. But I mean, the Wizard Worlds, they seem to they seem to be much larger than what the original Pittsburgh Comic Con was, I think, anyways. Like a bigger event. So they probably need more space than what they had at the Monroeville location.
Yeah, because I went to the Cleveland one, and I mean, I think that was handled pretty nice. It was I felt that it was like a lot of room to walk around with people and everything. So yeah. I didn't go on the major big day. Like I think I went on Friday.
That's when we ran into there. Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. It was probably for Cleveland. It was probably more crowded on Saturday, I think, than it was on Friday. And I think that was probably, I could probably say the same thing about the Columbus one, that it was more crowded on Saturday. We went on the last day, Sunday, too, which maybe here's a little pro tip for anybody attending the Comic-Cons. Like, if you want to go to one and stand in line to get autographs or what have you, it seems like it's better to go on probably the last day because the lines for James Marsters and the other guys were super short. So, I don't like standing in lines to get autographs from the actors. Not that I don't enjoy talking to the actors or anything. I just don't want to wait in line while I could be walking around doing other cool stuff. So, but this time too, they seem to have, and this might have been the same at Cleveland, but I didn't see it at Cleveland, or I didn't notice it at Cleveland as much. Where they had like a whole gaming section where they had a lot of, they actually had like gaming competitions going on, like video games, like a Street Fighter competition.
Okay. In Cleveland, I did remember there was like a video game area. I didn't quite know if there was a contest or anything, but people were just walking up to different video games and playing each other.
Yeah, and they had that too. They had that too. But the competition thing was more of like a bigger stage, and it had it on giant monitors, and so it was much more of a, like a thing, you know.
it's kind of like the what's that Fred Savage movie, the Wizard.
The Wiz, yeah, the Wizard, yeah, that's it, the Wizard, that's what it was. It was kind of like that, you know. If you wanted to participate in that, you could totally do that. It was pretty cool. I didn't participate in any of the competitions they had, but my son and I, we sat down and played some Super Smash Brothers at some of the locations, like the table that they had, and we played against other people and stuff like that, and I consider myself pretty decent at that game, you know, but I learned quickly that there's a lot of people that are a lot better than I am at that game there. So I won matches. I definitely won some matches, but, you know, I lost some that I didn't think I would lose as well.
I gotta get back to my game, because I was more of the Mortal Kombat Street Fighter game kind of guy. I'm a fighter guy.
Yeah.
I think my premier game was the Tekken series.
I love the Tekken series too. See, the Tekken, like Super, I don't know if you ever played a Super Smash Brothers
game. I think once. It's kind of like things just blow up and my man keeps stage.
Yeah, it's definitely a different type of fighter, but that's kind of like why I like it, because it is, I'm not gonna say it's more random, but in a way there are elements to it that, you know, it definitely takes skill too, but there's also these elements that can add like a little bit of randomness to it that kind of make the game more fun, I think. I mean, my son and I play that game for several hours, just because, you know, it's very fun. The replayability of it is awesome. So, although I will say I liked the Super Smash Brothers Brawl that was on the Wii way better than the Wii U version, because they.
So who do you go with? Who's your character? Who's your go-to character when playing the Smash Brothers?
Who's my go-to? I gotta go with Pitt from Kid Icarus.
Okay,
that's the guy right there, man. I like a lot of the other guys too. They're, Ike and Marth from what the heck is that name of that game? They're from some other I've never actually played the games those characters are from, but playing those characters in the game is pretty fun. But there are a lot of the characters that they include in it have they're all vastly different kind of in their fighting styles and techniques and stuff, and some take, you know, specific ways to use them and specific strengths and everything. I like using Pit because you know, he kind of flies a little bit. He gives you like there's a little bit more freedom as far as that goes. So like if you're starting to fall off or something off of the platform that you're on, and you can kind of recover better than some of the other characters, I think. So oh, yeah, yeah.
Character, she's in the suit.
Metroid. Oh, Metroid, Samus.
Yes.
Samus, yeah, yeah.
I'll play Samus, and, you know, she's tough, she blows things up. I'm getting blown up by Mario, and...
Yeah, Mario's pretty tough, though, too. I mean, those characters that are on there, I mean... what's funny with Samus and Metroid, you know, the character, you can be the Samus where she's in her suit, or you can be Zero Suit Samus where she's out of the suit. And I actually like using her in the Zero Suit Samus version better because she's more agile and she kicks butt either way, really. But I think she's much easier to use without the suit. So. Oh, gotcha.
Oh, that's how far back I am when it comes to Smash Brothers.
Oh, it's all good. All good. So
any other things at Comic-Con? Everything sounded like it was a pretty fun activity there.
Oh, definitely was. Like I said, definitely be looking forward to going to the November location. The November show in Pittsburgh. Definitely looking forward to that. Yeah, other than that, not too much else. I guess the big thing coming up this weekend, though, is Suicide Squad.
That is. I think we talked about this before in prior conversations. I'm looking forward to this. I am going to make plans to go see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before some missteps as in Wild Wild West and
I was kind of surprised to see, because a lot of things that I'm reading about it, the early reviews and stuff. His character has much. He's definitely, I guess, when you watch the movie, he is the main character of the movie. Like, he is the definitive lead of the movie. And it's funny because in most of the trailers, I don't think it was ever presented that way.
Yeah.
It was more of like such an... Yeah. More of like an ensemble type of cast, you know. And I guess... And the stuff that I've read about the movie in general... It sounds a little iffy. Like it sounds like there's good parts and bad parts. I did read some good things about Will Smith. The story itself, I guess, comes across as a little disjointed. I guess the Harley Quinn. Oh, I can't think of the actress's name, but I guess she's like the standout in the movie, I guess. She said, as far as the performances go, she's like, you know, if you want to go see Harley Quinn in a movie, she's definitely really good, and she's rock solid in it. Jared Leto's portrayal of the Joker, I guess is okay. Which might be the best that you can, you know, when you're coming from, you know, going from Heath Ledger's performance to Jared Leto. I mean, the best you can probably get is probably okay, you know, because, I mean, Heath Ledger's, you know, his performance in that, in Dark Knight, I mean, how can you top that in a way? I mean, that's, you know, that's a legendary performance.
Exactly.
You know, so... Exactly. So, you know, and Jared Leto, you know, I give him props if he does an okay job, because it's going to be hard to compare against Heath Ledger any way you look at it. So
yeah, and can I just say, Jared Leto is a very good musician. He's got an acting career, but that dude creeps me out.
Really, I don't see the James Franco thing, but the I think with Jared Leto, he's got like this whole like Dorian Gray thing with him. It's like where the guy does not age, and the guy is like impossibly good looking. Like he should not be that. You know, his features on his face, there's no flaws. The guy's older than I am. You know, he's exactly. He didn't age. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a portrait of him somewhere where he's aged, and you know, and looks, you know, close to 50. But you know, he does not look like he's pushing 50 at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm sure he's a nice guy and everything, and you know, it'd be great to meet him.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy from the interviews that I've heard,
like,
and stuff.
He just has a sense like he's a, and I think maybe because he's also a method actor, so he really gets.
Yeah, that's probably true. That is probably true. So, but yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with the Suicide Squad this weekend, and hopefully it'll be. I mean, it can't really be worse than Batman versus Superman, but I heard it's not as dark as Batman versus Superman, which is a plus. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. Well, I guess that's the thing though. Like, you know, there's rumors where they were doing these reshoots to add like a little bit more levity to the story. And I guess that's one of the complaints that I read, was that, the story doesn't flow very well, and it says that some of the jokes that are in there kind of fall flat, like they're, you know, they seem misplaced in some ways. So that may actually lead a little bit of credibility to the idea that those reshoots were, you know, actually done to add levity to the film, and maybe that's where it kind of falls apart a little bit, but. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it, and hopefully it won't be too bad.
Yeah, so. I do notice, like, with movies that kind of focus on villains or bad guys, not the quote-unquote good guys, that is not as serious as the cookie-cut superhero movies, because, you know, superheroes, they're always going to do the right thing. Bad guys or anti-heroes, they're more kind of like, do I want to do the right thing or not? If I do the wrong thing, they kind of do it in a really funny way.
Yeah. Like a la Deadpool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that, I mean, that movie, like, man, that's a funny movie. I mean, it really is. But also, like, just the story is really good. The story is rock solid. It seems like it has heart. Like, you know, you watch it and you can kind of, you know, there's a emotional development, there's things that happen, and it's hilarious because he breaks the third wall and all that kind of stuff, and it's that's a really good movie.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, got to give it props.
Thank you, Ryan Reynolds.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, with your perfect app, whatever, dude.
Exactly. Come on, man. Eat a bagel or a donut or something. Speaking of Ryan Reynolds, though, how many superhero movies has he been in?
Let's see.
He was in Blade 2 or 3? Which one was a 3, right? Blade Trinity?
Blade Trinity, yep.
Yeah, Blade Trinity. So he's in that. He was in Green Lantern.
We're going to mention that one.
Yeah. If you have to, you have to, right?
He was also in X-Men Origin Wolverine.
Yeah, unfortunately. Again, another one where... I like, when he's in the beginning of the movie, it's perfectly fine. The end! Like, what were you thinking? Come on! That's just horrible. And then, he was in, Deadpool. So, yeah, he has done, is there, are we missing any?
I'm trying to think of any other superhero or any, like, comic book based movies that...
You know what, though? I mean, and this is based off of a comic book. He was in that, yeah, yep, RIP. He was in that. So, I mean, that, I don't, did you see that?
I did see that too.
And I was, yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was entertaining. That's
it. The story was kind of like, okay, it was a different take, but I think the execution was, and I think especially with Ryan Reynolds, I can take Green Lantern, and I can even, you know, take the whole Wolverine origin. But yeah, that particular movie, it was kind of like he was just like dialing in. He's like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it did seem like that, and just kind of, yeah, wasn't the best of movies, wasn't the worst of movies, but. I mean, it seems like a lot of people leave out Blade Trinity, though, when they talk about his comic book movies, I think.
I
thought he was good in it.
Yeah, I thought he was hilarious in that.
Yeah. But he's one of the few actors that have crossed comic book universes, if you will. He's DC and Marvel, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so. I think there's only one other person that possibly might have beaten him. And I think that's Chris Evans.
Chris Evans, yeah. He did, well, Fantastic Four and... Captain.
The Losers, Captain America movie.
Oh, he was in that, yeah.
Push. I think that's based off a comic book.
Is it? I don't know if I ever seen that.
The Push is the where he has like the superpower of like he can push objects with his hand or something like that.
Huh.
Because I think he's like saving a girl who has like the power to, if I remember correctly, like predict the future or something like that from this corporate organization of people with superpowers. So yeah, so he's in that.
Gotcha, that was pretty good.
That was under the radar. But yeah, Mr. Chris Evans.
Yeah, I guess yeah, that would be, yeah. I don't know. Other than that, I don't know. We don't really have anything else to talk about, but we've gone on here for a little while now. So maybe we'll sign out right now, and we'll
see you guys next time.
Yeah, we'll go from here. So keep listening, and we'll see you next time, right?
All right.
All right, good deal.